So it was at our one of the local restaurants in the area. It's a Ramshead, but one of our local ones. And they had one of the best movies ever made on the TV. And, of course, I was sitting there eating my fish tacos while I was watching it. Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World. Okay. One of the best ones out there, right?
What?
Yeah. It's a really good movie. It's a really good movie, okay?
Sure.
You're saying best movie?
No.
Jurassic Park 2.
No, it was all right, I guess.
Yeah.
Hanging your hat on that one, Jake?
So, there is a... It has a really good opening where it has like the super rich guy who's like taking a vacation on the island, okay, and then a tragedy occurs, right? And then it ends, the scene ends with the woman holding her head and screaming and going, ah! And then it cuts to Jeff Goldblum yawning, and then the woman's scream turns into the scream of the subway car going down the track, right? Usually that's how it goes. In this scene, in this version that I was watching on TV, in like the made-for-TV cut or whatever, it changes. It changes to a cut of a guy in a boardroom who's also yawning. He's still yawning like Jeff Goldblum is, but it actually gives some exposition to like InGen, the company, and it's like the company that, you know, did the whole park in the first movie, and it gives some like background as to what happened since the first movie, and it's a good scene. But it totally messed me up because that transition from like the lady screaming to Jeff Goldblum was like perfect. And then all of a sudden I see like a guy, like a suit, and I was like, what the hell is this? And it totally ruined it. Like, it like changed the whole pace of the movie for some reason. And I think it's one of those things that like when a cut like that is so good, and then they took out that scene for whatever reason, probably for runtime or whatever, but then they added it back in for like the TV version. And I was like, why was that not in like a different part? Because the cut was so good when it went to Jeff Goldblum, but then it went to just some guy in a suit, and I was like, oh, I don't like this version. I don't like this version at all.
So it was like a TV spot where they changed the scene. What you're saying?
Yeah. They inserted a scene, so like it was like a deleted scene that they put back into the movie. That they took out like when it was in theater. So it was just like one of those things that they put a deleted scene back in, but it changed the pace of it. The cut to Jeff Goldblum was good, and then the cut to like the boardroom was like totally different. It made it weird. So like there are sometimes deleted scenes are taken out for a reason.
Weird.
And I think that was one of them. I think that was a good cut. That being said, the scene was good. I just think it belonged in a different spot. But there are plenty of movies that were saved by cuts. If you know anything about George Lucas's wife, who like had edited a lot of Star Wars, she saved it. She saved a lot of Star Wars.
And wow. So,
she doesn't get as much credit as George does, obviously. But yeah, he had a bunch of ideas on like what they wanted to say, and then she was just like, George, people don't talk like that.
was it for the original? Yeah, I'm assuming the original, right?
The original Star Wars or Jurassic Park?
You said George Lucas.
The original Star Wars. Yeah,
I immediately defaulted to Star Wars. Like,
no.
I was like,
in A New Hope, like the one of Luke's first lines, he has like a longer line, and he made it to sound like, you know, totally foreign to us. But then she was just like, yeah, but people don't talk like that. And so, like, what we hear now, which is, like, still kind of foreign to us because he lives on a different planet in a different universe. But, yeah, it was, like, it's, like, one of those things that it's, like, there's a good reason that they cut out certain things.
Yeah, Luke definitely kind of comes across as more like a, you know, kid with a parent who's asking him to do something he doesn't want to do. So, yeah, I think that was the right call. Definitely fits the era of movies. Like, when I think of, like, you know, movies from around that time, it's kind of just like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, father, I must do this instead.
Yeah.
Or uncle. I know it's uncle.
I don't think I've watched the second Jurassic Park movie in at least 10 years.
I've never seen it.
I haven't seen it since it came out. So it's been a long ass time, honestly.
The closest I've come to watching Jurassic Park was reading the Disney Little Golden Books version. And as far as I know, Jurassic Park, nobody dies, everyone makes it out okay. And the T-Rex is actually the hero.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Tim, take your headphones off.
So, believe it or not, this guy agreed to go see Resident Evil with me, Jed, and Jake.
Yeah.
The guy who's like heaviest caveat. Rating that he's ever that he watches it these days is like G.
When it first came out, or
I'm not gonna lie, Tim, you started talking and the second you got to the Disney pick book version, I was like, Tim, there's some things you really just shouldn't say out loud.
Tim has the current media consumption habits of a 3-year-old child. That's about what? It.
Because he's raising one. I just make mine go to bed so I can stay up and watch Invincible. Go to sleep. I need to watch Invincible where they kill people.
I have enough scary dreams on its own. I dreamt that someone was trying to assume Thor's identity, and I knew too much. I was being hunted, and they were using some wave-making machine to destroy a city. It was pretty cool.
That's a fun one.
Pretty scary.
Thor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like Marvel Thor?
Yeah, Marvel Thor. That was my dream. It's a dream, not a real movie.
Cool. No, the real Thor. Remember the movie?
Tim wasn't. Be careful, Tim. They're going to come after you. See
ya. This is going to show up and go, we want you to write for Marvel.
No, they're going to show up and say, we listened to your podcast and you stole one of our upcoming movie ideas. We're coming for you.
I'm going to sue you to oblivion.
How do you
the
know?
The mouse is coming to your doorstep right now.
Who leaked it?
Worst in pop.
Now the speaking of the new Resident Evil film, I posted this a few weeks ago now that this episode has come out, but like the guy writing it is one from The Whitest Kids You Know, which is crazy to me. I don't know if you guys watch that, but that is definitely a show that I did not think would transfer creators into Resident Evil. But apparently he wants to capture the idea that like the main character in the movie is like not good at surviving. Like he's surviving by the skin of his teeth every time, which is how those video games feel. And so I'm like, if this guy says he has like thousands of hours in like making, you know, in like playing the video games and like that vibe, that like dread, I'm like, I think this movie is in the right hands now.
I think that's a prerequisite these days. Like, if you're going to make a video game movie, like, you have to have sunk significant time in the actual, like, IP. Zero respect.
There's been so many cases of that not happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to point out all the other Resident Evils that, like, were cool, but not Resident Evil, necessarily. Because mm-hmm. there were some cool parts in the movies, and they were fun watches, but at the end of it, you kind of go, was there Resident Evil?
Well, I mean, like, you go from this second one, which is supposed to, I think Claire is in it, or was it Claire Redfield? That I think it was supposed to, I can't remember the characters exactly, but, like, she's, what, the main hero in one of them, and she gets sidelined by the director's original OC wife, basically.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, in the second one, what, like, it's just like, oh, yeah, cool, it's like, oh, yeah, she's awesome, and then she's like, oh, no, and here's Alice, who is awesome, can do everything, and then just completely sidelines her, and like, you're like, oh, okay.
So, wait, a mainline character in the series got outshined by a Mary Sue, which was the guy's wife?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so awful.
Yeah, the original, like, I mean, I think there's, like, six Resident Evil movies before the new one. I mean, they just churned them out like crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was it. It was like, cause I remember watching that. I was like, who the hell is this woman? Oh, that's cool. Like, she's cool. But then the second one, I'm like, oh, that's, I think Claire, like, whatever. And then she just gets like sidelined. You're like, oh, okay.
Cool. I don't remember what the, which one this was, but they did have like Leon and Ada in it. And it's like the casting for Ada was perfect. She's like hot. She's like confident. She has this like mysterious aura about her. And then the guy that's supposed to be Leon, everybody was like, "Who the fuck is that?" that's not Leon Kennedy at all.
All right, so wait.
That's Lyle Kenobi right there.
Might as well have been because it was just not him. And I was like, "How do you get the casting that bad?"
I mean, he's not Leon. It's not Chris. So, I mean, are his biceps as big as a boulder? Like, is he punching a boulder?
Yeah.
This isn't legit.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, there are plenty of things out there that I'm just like, yeah, they could have went in a different direction in this. But we are going full steam ahead here in this adventure. Last episode, you guys were spending time in the barracks. You guys had helped out Hammersong with discovering that the crab pool, the crab spawning pool, was being poisoned by some alchemical reaction. And then you went to do some investigating, and you discovered that there was some tension in the barracks after what had happened at the abandoned house. I don't know what you guys want to call it, but you guys had slaughtered those guards who were corrupt, and they kind of have it on the keep it on the DL at the moment. So something's got a little tense. And a guard hugged Kezra. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, that was way uncalled for.
Well, you did tell him that you would keep an eye out for his brother, because he's scared for the worst. They think that he's just dead or gone or something. But there's no body. They haven't confirmed that he's actually dead. And so you gave this guy some hope that his brother's out there. Maybe you can get him to come back.
I like to think Sandor's off to the side going, wow, Dragonblood over there is really good at comforting people. Really inspiring to watch.
It's how dragons comfort each other, okay? God.
I don't think that's true at all.
I never said I went over there to comfort him. Went over there to crack his skull in case he was up to something. He just happened to be crying.
Right?
He was crying and I didn't know how to approach the situation.
He's like, listen, I thought you were going to do something else. I can get someone... Let me get Sandor. I mean, he knows how to comfort people.
Thanks for the information. I'm sure you can find a great therapist in the city. It's a pretty big town. A lot of fucked up things going on. I'm sure there's got to be someone out there helping people with all the evil out there.
I see what you're saying. Here, hold this real quick. Hold this. He's got a knife.
But so after the tension is thick in the air, what do you guys want to do from here? You gotten some information that they were sort of suspicious of some stuff. They were told the report was that a monster had, that what they were told to say was that a monster had killed those other guards, but they all kind of knew. It was just reports coming down from the top that was just like, listen, we can't say much. So if somebody asks, just say this. But what do you guys want to do from here? You still have two missions to complete, or two tasks to complete from the councils.
Can you bring us back to the map of the city?
Yeah.
So we can look at something real.
Yeah. What, the corpse of the giant serpent there. Yeah, because we could... I mean, I don't think that guy was going to give us anything, but there was that guy at the bar that was like talking about that thing we killed, the soul devourer guy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the PTSD guy.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't think he was gonna give a shit for it. I mean, he was kind of a drunkard.
He was just screaming about it. He had almost befallen the fate of the dwarf woman that you guys had rescued from it. So she seemed a fair bit better. He suffered something much, much worse. He was just a guy yelling in the bar about whatever horrible things he saw.
Did we know? So we reported about the poison, and then who was it that got a bunch of guards and then went off to arrest somebody?
That was Hammersong.
Okay, so do we know where he went?
You don't. All that you know, that you kind of pulled it out of the guard that was escorting you, was that there was something between council members.
Tell you what, Jake, since I was not, Sandor wasn't really present at all during that barrack scene.
Yeah.
I want to say I tailed the Hammersong and his guards.
Yeah.
Because I have an item that I have not gotten to use yet.
Ooh. What? You've had this character for 3 episodes. You haven't used everything on his character sheet yet?
Well, you don't have 10 abilities you're not going to use right now?
It is...
I'm pretty sure I still have spells that I've picked that I've never used.
Whoa.
Sometimes you're just situational and you're like, God, I hope to use this one day.
Yeah.
The clandestine cloak.
Oh, nice. That's a good one. Yep. Oh, that's a good one.
Pull it up over my shoulders and I get a bonus to stealth.
Okay.
It's like, makes you look like a regular person or something, right?
Kind of yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so in a populated city such as this, you can blend into crowds pretty well. I was if you guys ever played Assassin's Creed, there were sometimes there were like monks walking around, and like what you could do is that like you could jump in like the group of them and just you could like put your hood up and then you would instantly like meld in to look like them, and the guards would always be like, "Where'd he go? Where'd he go?" It was awesome.
Dude, and the monks were like, "Yeah, you can just join us. That's cool."
Dude, fuck them pigs.
Dude, I remember there was like one. I think it was at Otakon one year. Someone was dressed up as Altair. So he did that. Like, this one was like, "Guards, get him!" And then like he would just jump into a group of someone. They're like, "Where'd he go?
Where is he?"
That's amazing.
Oh god, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right, so go ahead and roll me a stealth check to tail these guys, because obviously they don't want you following them. So if they saw you, then it would raise some suspicions on their part.
Oh, god damn, 19 on the die. For, Tim, 19 plus 19.
38.
38. Easy success there. So you're able to follow them just fine. There's a crowd of people at one point, there's a fight going on, and so you manage to sort of, like, slip in between the crowds of people that are gathering here and there. So you walk out, and he goes up Kovlar Way, which is the road that cuts through the center of the city going north. And he goes up to the barricade. And he begins making his way towards another part of the barracks. There's a bunch of different ones, but he starts asking around, and then eventually they point to the wall itself, whoever he's talking to, and then you see him go up to the barricade, and then he goes inside of the barricade, where you wouldn't be able to tail him very well. But you can see that there's a room you would know, at least, just because you live here. You would know that there are rooms inside of there. There's rooms for munitions and arms. There's some sleeping quarters and stuff in there. So all right. It sounds like whoever is in there is whoever he's looking for.
I will just post up outside and wait till I see something.
Okay, it definitely took a while. So I want to go back to these guys.
Sounds good.
To see what they want to do. So after you have the conversation with the guards in the barracks, the main barracks where Hammersong was, and when you had questioned the few that you were talking to, where do you want to go next?
Oh boy.
Because there are, I can give you the 2 tasks that you have not done yet.
Sure.
I know that they didn't. Hammersong told us that they'd be able to crack this open by tomorrow. Was it?
That's what they're thinking. Yeah. They're seeing some clues on stuff. So it seems like he's either going to make an arrest or he's just going to question somebody.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think of this like kind of in sequence of like they shove out, we do our thing, we're kind of finishing up, and then we turn around and Sandor is gone, right?
Yeah. Just...
So maybe Garn will like, did anyone see where Sandor went? He was just with us. He said he was gonna show us a nice pub around town, but can't really show us if he's not around.
no, and I would say, I just want to say, Ambrose, like, you said there was a guy, like, playing music as well in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he would join him, like, he kind of snaps his fingers and a spectral viola kind of appears. And,
oh, sick.
And
oh,
he dude, just, cool. And he just, and he just kind of matches his play, like... Like at this point, like, everyone's asking questions and stuff like that, and he's just like, oh, music. Music calms me down quite a bit, so. But, and then he's, oh, no, I didn't quite see him. I thought he was with you, and looks around. Oh. Suppose he had some business to take care of, or...
Oh, he did mention a Chipotle order, so perhaps he's getting that for the Archmage.
It's probably all mushrooms, to be honest.
I hope he doesn't forget the side of chips.
Mushrooms and crab wrap.
Very authentic. But I do love this, by the way, because Sandor is definitely used to working by himself.
Yeah.
Of course
yeah,
he didn't
yeah.
tell you where he was going.
Yeah. Why would I need to communicate with my team?
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense.
So yeah, we hit the streets. Garn looks at Ambrose, looks at Kezra. Kezra, any ideas what we should do now? We have all these errands from the council. Don't know if they're the best use of our time, but do you have any of the inklings of a lead?
What are our errands again right now?
So the last two that you have, was one of them was from Forge Master Kelda Hallrig. She was the one who actually introduced you to the council. She's one of the she is part of the Ambler's Guild, that's what it is. So she had something to do in the Ambler's Guild, and you have another one which is from Aljoiner Garnis, who she was a part of, I think, the Carpenter's Guild. And she had her thing just says check the walls.
Check the walls.
Check the walls.
But was the Ambler one? Was that the one that like kind of like Kezra for a moment because like his comment, or was that someone else?
Because
I thought there was one that was just kind of like because he did that whole thing and something about dice, and she's like, heh. Like,
No. So no, Helda Kalrig. She is the. Oh, actually, you know what? I can pull.
Right.
She was one of the ones that actually had something in the book.
I'm just trying to remember all 12 characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're looking that up.
Yeah.
Ezra, with our two fetch quests, more or less, that we have, one on the wall, one in the Anvil's district, or the Forge Fire district. I don't know how much information can be gained and on the wall for the infiltration of the Scarlet Triad. I wonder if our concerns would be better turned inward. It seems that we would have looked for the rot inside than at the wall. Surely there is some, you know, sprucing up that might happen, maybe inspecting to make sure the battlements are all right. That is, of course, of importance, but it does not seem to be much of our concern. What say you? What feeling do you have?
Yeah, I think I'm fine with either. I think there's clearly something going on in the city. I do believe the Scarlet Triad is here. With this missing god, the brother over here.
What do you mean, this missing god?
I tailed that god over there. He overheard your story. He's the brother of one of the gods who attempted to stop us from going into that dilapidated house where they were holding the prisoners, but now he's missing. He's been gone for, he hasn't been seen probably since us. We were probably the last to see him. His brother over there is obviously concerned, but I think trying to track him down would be a good use of time. He either knows something or he's involved in something.
I see. Yes, if he was one of the corrupt guards, they wouldn't want him to be easily ID'd by us. So they either have closed him in on the ranks, or maybe taken care of him.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not
I am actually not too familiar with how the Scarlet Triad treats their own. I just know that they take people, repurpose them for their nefarious ways.
I don't think there's any honor among these men and women. I think they, if you serve use, they keep you around. I think if you get in the way or you become a liability, they don't want you hindering their operation. However, I think we can continue to help these council members. I think this town seems to be a well-oiled machine generally, but there's something going on in here that I don't think they've detected yet, that is rotting it from the core. I believe it is tied to what we are dealing with. I think looking inward, like you said, might be better. I think we can leave the wall for last if we don't turn anything up, either this missing brother or if this mission for the Anvil, the Forge, whatever guild, doesn't turn up anything fruitful. The poisoned crabs didn't seem to do much for us, but I don't have any other leads at this moment. And I think wandering around in the darkness with the undead isn't exactly a good plan either.
Agreed. Ambrose, as a responsible leader, I feel as if I must make sure that we're all on board with whatever you decide as a group. So what say you? To the wall or to the anvil?
I believe to the anvil. Save the wall, of course, to alas. But I do believe if there's a bit of subterfuge going on, at least with the eggs, then I fear there could be something going on with the wall as well. I'm not too knowledgeable of this city, but with this wall itself, if there's something inside perhaps damaging the interior, that could also lead into something. But at this point, it'll be one or the other. So I would say save the wall to last. Go and see what's the anviler?
Yes. Yep. So I showed the picture of Kelda Hallrig. She is the council member for the Anvilers Guild.
Yes, I believe we should see Miss Kelda Hallrig, or at least whatever issue that they're having, and then go to the wall.
Yeah, that lady had some arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's got some ham hocks. Coming off of her shoulders. Alright, so if you guys go to the Anvilers Guild, you can hear it. And if you're walking towards the Earthfire District, you can hear the constant hammer tangs, just bang, bang, bang. And you can hear the sizzling of the weapons being doused in oil and stuff like that. And because it's a learning center too, it's like, you know, if you ever go like a trade school, they're constantly doing stuff. They're constantly making like crappy things and reforging, you know, not good enough, try it again. They're doing that constantly. So you're hearing a bunch of this. And so you get your kids that are, you know, the young guys that are like working on stuff, just, you know, trying to get their Anvilers badge, you know, just trying to make their way here. And business is booming sometimes because the adventurers come down here. The guards always, you know, want to make sure that their weapons are up to grade and stuff like that. So it is a good work to get into. So when you get in, a bunch of dwarves working around. There's a field trip going by, a bunch of kids. They're like, "Can I have a hammer?" And they're like, "No, it's bigger than you." Kelda Hallrig is there directing a bunch of new recruits into the trade, and she's giving them orders on how to hold the hammer, how to hit flat, and slamming it down, and you can see sparks are flying as she's like kind of doing it in rhythm. So she goes, up, down, up, hand steady, down, and she's just doing that over and over and over again, and then she goes, "Douse, take a break," and she turns to you all, she saw you all coming up. She goes, she wipes the sweat from her brows, the heat from the forges all around her has caused her to glisten, and she goes,
Ah, so glad you all could come by. Really appreciate you taking the time to help out and help me with this task. I hope your stay has been eventful and fruitful.
Well, we think that the Scarlet Triad that we're tracking is somewhere within the city, so continuing to move about and find these anomalies is usually beneficial, I would say.
Yes, I'll tell you what that anomaly is. It's the craftsmanship around here has been pitiful! And she kind of, like, spits off to the side.
We do good work here in Kovlar, but something is amiss. I don't know if someone's sabotaging the metal, someone's sabotaging the materials. Something's happening here.
There seems to be a lot of that going around. Did you hear of the spawning pits of crabs?
I was wondering why I was denied my crab cakes the other night.
Yes, well, we found some alchemical substances that were causing mutations. It was not anything natural. The whole ecosystem over there seemed to be in disarray. And you say now that the ore that you are smelting with and fashioning is experiencing some issues?
Oh, first I thought it was the recruits here. They usually do pretty salty work at first, but after looking at it, it seems that I don't know if it's the ore. We buy it from the same people, the same place, it's been mined in the same areas. It's always been good, but something is happening to some of these. Even trained artisans are getting bad metals. Swords are breaking when they usually wouldn't. It's becoming a recurring problem.
Now, in order for us to perhaps look into this, as Kozer alluded to, these things must be mutually beneficial. So, as much as we do want to make good our promise to help the city, it has to, in some way, further our investigation. I think what we want is the same, to find the root cause of this. However, the level of access that we'll need in order to ascertain what is going on here might be more than you are comfortable with.
Oh, you can speak to anyone you like.
I'm talking books. I'm talking work orders, the receipts for the transfer of the ore. You need it all.
She goes over to her desk, which is, you know, just a shitty desk in a forge, and she just pulls out just, like, binders of just, like, transactions. And he goes, feast your eyes on these.
When did the bad ore begin to show up? When did you start noticing the problems with the craftwork?
I think it's been, things break. It's a common occurrence, as you know, but these things have been happening for, I think it's been increasing a few weeks, maybe a month now. That's why we thought that maybe it was just one bad batch of ore, but then it's just continues happening.
Any changes in the supplier of the ore, where it's coming from, who's delivering it?
No.
And no changes?
No, That's why we're so confused. It's been the same people. It's been some family members that have been doing it. I trust them completely. So, look in here is all you want. You can speak to whoever you need. And she gives you her badge, pretty much. And she just goes, you can go anywhere you need to. Just figure out what's going on here. We need to figure out if something's happening to our metal or if something's happening to our workers.
Ambrose, I think you are probably better attuned to the books. Much for these.
Oh, I can certainly take a look at this. I would say, like, what would this be, like, society-type stuff or legal? Legal. I have legal lore, so...
I was going to say, yeah, I remember you had legal lore. So, yeah, you can do legal lore, and you can see just, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
Mounds of books and just, like, the different transactions, because every smith here has their own shop, essentially. Okay. And so certain people will like certain smiths because they like, you know, the way that they do it. Some Some make hammers better. Some are really good at making short swords. And so, you know, it just depends on what their specialty is.
Yeah.
And so they all have to report that to Kelda Halrig, who audits all that stuff.
Okay.
So you're more than welcome to just go through anything you want.
Oh, yeah, because basically at this point, then, he is going to go with, I guess, coincide details that are about a month ago that she said that things were starting to kind of get weird about things, like quality was starting to slip.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on each one, each shop, same quality, starting to slip. I'm just trying to think of a way to itemize it. Like, because it just kind of also seems weird, like, hey, like, are we going to interview each of these people and being like, hey, you doing good? Like,
yeah, right.
So,
right.
But at the thing,
oh, like if there are only certain ones that are being affected.
Yeah, like that's basically it, because she said that some are, not all, I think, right?
Yeah, but the ones that have been having like weapons break or you know, armor that dents when it shouldn't are like the craftsmen that are like always good.
Yeah.
And so some of them have gold stars, you know what I mean? And so they're the ones that she's like, we never have problems.
Okay.
Like, we should never have problems with these guys specifically.
Interesting. So at this point, like, I think he's just trying to itemize who would be the first person to talk to, and that way we could see if this is something due to the actual metal itself being, I mean, I don't know how the hell you contaminate, or unless it was, like, the supplier or something. Like, but she says she trusts the supplier.
Mm-hmm.
The supplier's
it's altered magically or alchemically.
Yeah, I mean, right. Amaris doesn't exactly know if, like, anything regarding that. Like, you know, oh, he casts a spell on metal and stuff like that. But, like, if we meet the people, like, are they going to look, like, sickly? Like, it looks like they're clumsy, too, you know?
Why don't you two talk to the smithies? I will inspect the ore.
Oh, that works out quite well.
Okay. So go ahead and roll, whoever wants to talk, go ahead and roll me diplomacy. Or if you want to do legal, or we can get some names for people to for you to talk to.
Oh, I can do diplomacy as well. Like, oh, okay. My diplomacy is pretty damn good.
I was about to say, Ambrose cut his teeth in the courts.
I mean, it's like that stuff, but yeah, the only problem, it's like kind of going from like an outsider's perspective of this city, so it's just kind of like this non-dwarf going like, oh yes, that looks good, sure. Like, my crafting is, you know, mediocre, so whatever.
Yeah.
That's next.
Maybe I'll aid you with Lore Five Kings Mountains try to kind of bring the local flair.
Oh, shit, yeah, that's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when Ambrose walks in, and then they're just like, I don't talk to you people. You're like, okay, all right.
I point to him, and he's like, okay, sure.
Okay, you're fine.
Well, we have the badge.
And, you know, for the first roll of the episode, you gotta roll with Black Oak Workshop, because that's where dice are treasured.
Treasures. They're made Black in the Oak forge. Workshop.
And that's why you roll with Black Oak Workshop, because that's a 33.
There we go.
All right. So you go through some stuff, and
What did Ambrose roll? My bad.
For diplomacy, 36. 80.
So that's a plus +2 because I crit succeed. 38. So,
oh, right.
38.
Okay.
38 with a little bit of a boost from Five Kings Mountains.
Exactly, yeah. So what happens is that, first off, you're looking through some of the names, and you can see some of the guys, or some of the smiths that have filed complaints with Kelvin. You can see that they have, like, a spotless track record. So, obviously, it's, like, one of those things that, like, when they're so good at something and something goes wrong, they go to her, and then they're like, hey, what the fuck? Like, my stuff's never bad, what's going on? So, there are two names in particular. There is a guy named Odd Stald. And then another one named Stad Goldbeard.
Stad Goldbeard just sounds cool. I'll honestly say, just want to talk to that guy.
Yeah. He is a very, very old dwarf. It looks like he doesn't really do a lot of the forging anymore. He's a older, portly dwarf with a beard that goes down to like his ankles. Like, he's huge. And his beard is massive. His beard is, like, gray now. It probably was blonde back in the day. But yeah, so when you go in, he's sitting on a big, mighty, like, dark oak wooden chair, and he's just like writing stuff, writing orders down. And he's just like, "Hey, come on in. How can I help you all?" He's smoking a big old pipe.
So he's God, I'm just trying to think of the word for it. So is he, so he doesn't do that. He doesn't forge anymore, but he kind of oversees, correct?
Exactly.
How do I want to approach this is saying, okay. Hey, we're just kind of seeing what's going on, but I'm just trying to see, like, hey, so we see some, black marks on your ledger here, I'm trying not to, you know, insult him right from the get-go.
Hey, your work's been shit lately. What's going on?
Your work's been shit?
I know it's the pride of you and your people, but...
Yeah. So he starts trying to be tactful about it. He goes, "Oh, hello, well met." And he is going to speak Dorvish at this point as well.
Right.
Just to, you know, get the local feel nice and warm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He kind of perks up at that. He appears to be pleasantly surprised to see you speaking English.
So hello, and we're trying to. Oh my god, you have to remind me of her name again.
Kelda Ulrich. Yeah.
Yes.
His boss, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, that was another thing I was just kind of trying to clarify. So they have their individual shops that are separate from hers.
Yes. Yeah. She's the council member, so she's the one who, like, oversees her guild and then communicates with the other guilds.
Right.
It's pretty much like having like a union representative.
Okay, it's just a thing mentally for me. I'm just trying to think of how each system works. Of he makes something, and then a delivery person goes out and delivers it to her. So there's like a transaction moment. Like, that's how I'm kind of trying to think of how this might operate.
Well, he has a shop, so when you walk into his shop. So, like, when it comes to auditing time, you know, like, he will report to her to talk about, you know, what transactions have been going on, any issues he's having and stuff like that. So she's there to help him, but, you know, she also has to audit things to make sure that things are going well.
Okay. Hello. Hello and well met. I am Ambrose. This is, Gone. Stoneborn.
Rastan's cousin, I heard.
Oh, yes, I see. No secrets among the council members.
That's right. Carol de Runda typed ship here. What can I help you all with? You're looking for something to replace that.
And he points at your Morningstar.
We have something over here you could use.
And he, like, kind of waddles his way over to the Morningstars.
That is a separate matter. I'm not looking necessarily to replace this, as I've inherited this weapon, but I am looking to enhance it, maybe change it laterally. You see, there's, and he kind of taps on the runes on it. There's some runes that I would like to get changed. The magics deep within it are not... do not quite align with the God of War. They are more for dispatching of good and evil, and I'm not so concerned with that thing as I am with the heart of battle, so to find something that would better suit my style of battle. Ah, but that is another matter. Ambrose, I believe we had other business today.
Oh, yes. We're here to investigate some possible issues, I would say, with, a bit of product that's been going around. And I was curious if we could speak in your ear about it.
Unless you want to see the shit that some of my young men have been making? Fine. Step in my office, I'll show you the damn thing.
You can tell they, like, struck a chord with him. He's pissed.
Yeah.
He's pissed about this whole thing.
That makes sense.
So you flash the badge or whatever, and he takes you in. And all that it is just a short sword, but he takes it out, and there is a clear, like, fracture line that it broke upon. It's like, you look at, like, the edge of where it broke, and it was like, there was no way this would have passed some inspection.
Mm-hmm. I'm not quite a craftsman myself, but even I can see there's some issues going on here. What exactly... happened. You were... as I'm told, you were one of the best smithies here.
Damn right I am. Goldbeard's name's always good. Now, far as I know, I do all my inspections at night. Come here, look at all of them. Gotten so good, I just need to eye them over.
You see that one of his eyes is kind of messed up, so he's kind of being funny.
Yes. This eye has been working for many years. But it's never failed. I've always caught imperfections before they land in people's hands. These are people's lives, I'm telling you.
He throws it to the ground and it cracks again.
Now, was this from someone new that has just started up? Or was this a novice or an expert?
Nobody owned up to it. That's why I'm mad.
Oh, that's... That is suspicious as hell.
Yeah.
Now, how many work under you?
We have 5 new recruits. We have 10 teachers.
Teachers, 5 new recruits. And you're believing that this is from one of the recruits, at least.
Well, that's what I would have thought, but most of them try to be honest. Is this group, however...
And he, like, shouts, and clearly you can see he's, like, directing it at the recruits.
So from his... where he is now, we don't see, like, anyone else, right? Essentially?
No. You guys are in his office. Right. It's off to the side.
Okay. I'm just curious. Yeah. So this is... Yes. I can see how this truly is... It's unforgivable. Someone's lives could simply be lost, especially with how hostile your environment is outside the walls.
Can you imagine if Hammersong wielded this sword himself?
Oh.
We would have been down one commander.
I don't know about that. I'm sure his fist could do the talking as well.
You're right.
But, no, this is truly troubling. As much as I try not to get into business of others like this, is there a way we could speak to any of your men underneath you? I just simply think that someone truly has to own up to this, and perhaps get a retroband, so to speak.
Yes, I'll gather them up.
And he goes over, and there's a big, like, brass bell like outside of his door, and he just goes over, just da-dang, 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 da-dang. And so you hear all the hammers stop all of a sudden, and then they all kind of line up.
Now, from the lineup, he's looking more for, like, the ones that perhaps been there a little bit longer.
Yeah. You can tell who the students are. They're clearly younger. And then not all of the teachers are here, as it's not their shift, but all the students are definitely here. So they all line up. The students are all kind of like huddled together, and then the teachers are just sort of like, what? Like what now? They kind of have that attitude.
Yes. All right. So I see you see here. And then he picks up the short sword, and he drops it like in front of them. And it just, I'm assuming it, like, just gets worse and worse.
The more yeah, another piece breaks off, yeah. It's like
so, I simply am just trying to, here I am, an investor, and I come because Goldbeard, best swords in the land. But what is this? I'm simply just trying to figure out who's done this so that they can improve. Now, who is responsible for such a thing? And he is looking around at each one of them.
There's a female dwarf, her name tag is Marg. Margnar. And she just goes,
"We already told the old man. None of us made that one. We don't know how it got here. We think he bought it off of somebody when he was drunk some night. And he left it on the shelf. And he's like, now you speak like that again, I'll make sure you never have a job in this city ever."
And like when they're talking, I'm doing perception. I'm using my deception to do, like, a lie to me.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Just gonna flex those feats.
Yeah, so...
All right, go ahead and see if you can, roll, and then you'll see if you can kind of sense any lie. There's a lot of bickering back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Ultimately looking for the person that's just kind of, like, either trying to stir shit up, like, you know, like, trying to get everyone pissed off, or the one that's, like, looking off for a moment, like...
Right, yeah, yeah.
That is a 32.
32, so this bickering and this argument between the, what he calls teachers, the students don't say much, but the, between the teachers and Goldbeard, the owner here, it goes on for a little while, and you realize everyone is, like, pretty sure of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sensing any kind of deception here. They're pretty pissed off at each other, but, like, they're pretty confident that, like, nobody made them.
That's so weird. Someone may be planting bad weapons? What?
Well, that is quite curious. So this sword just so happens to just appear on the shelf out of nowhere. Brittle as
well,
hell.
What kind of security do you run here?
Edward. Well, we have heavy locks on the doors, but if somebody had, you know, access to it, who knows? Who knows? I lock the doors every night.
And then you, some of them are just like, oh, do you do while you're drunk? You know, they're like prodding him again. Yeah, it's a very toxic environment right now.
Oh, it's perfect. Just stirred up even more.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, who's the quartermaster? If there is a sword that has gone wrong, surely you have some sort of seal or stamp that you put on each weapon? Like, is it a one-for-one reproduction? Do they have the emblem right? Like, if this is a counterfeit, someone either swapped it out, and they wouldn't have gotten your seal just perfectly so, unless they stole one of your implements to make it themselves. Tell me, can anyone look at this and tell me if it is indeed the Goldbeard seal? Because usually artists, they have some sort of mark.
I would think a Goldbeard would like be stamping his shit on that.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah, so right. I mean, you look at it, and the when it's clear why Goldbeard thought that it was one of the new recruits, because there doesn't seem to be any like significant identifier of it.
Oh.
It does look like his work.
Right.
However, the one, obviously the craftsman was shoddy, but also right. it looks like somebody, if somebody did fabricate it, they did it to make it look like his.
Yeah, so they, I guess, you know, maybe after they kind of say that, like, it doesn't look like any of, like, you know, the tooling to signify it's one of theirs, you know, Garn, perhaps we'll go back to the office with Goldbeard, and he's like, I did not want to say this in front of your employees, but there seems to be someone among you who has access. I'm not saying it's anyone out there. I'm saying it could be anyone who has access to the building. Someone who drops off your shipment of ore. Someone who delivers your weapons to market. Someone that you wouldn't expect that is making us a switch at the counterfeit. So all we ask of you is that perhaps you enlist someone you trust, someone personal and close, to have a rotation to watch the store at night. Just for now. Once we sort this and get to the bottom of it, we'll find who is making the swap. But you need to take measures and precautions yourselves, because I... Ambrose, I think I could tell by looking at your face that you trust them, that they are indeed telling the truth.
They seem to be the up and up. I mean, as honestly the students, I mean, as scared witless as they are in front of their teachers, but even the teachers seemed a bit more confused than anything else. I would say that, and I'll tell you this, Goldbeard, that you are not the only one suffering from such a thing right now as well. Now, is there... What was the other person's name?
Odd. O-D. Odd Stahl.
Odd Stahl. But he won't say his name because, I mean, at that point he's not trying to, like, reveal, like, too much. But he goes, but you are certainly not the only one. You said you would lock up every single night?
Yes, we have to make sure that people aren't coming in here and stealing good metal. Good weapons.
And when... I you probably answered this already, but when did this sword go on the shelf? Like, was it between a day? Like, nightly? Like, basically, is it the inventory replenished at night?
we put things on the shelves. Sometimes we find imperfections, and we put them back in the forge. I believe we found this one, what was it, 3 days ago? And the teachers sort of nod in agreement.
3 days ago. Okay. And it seems to be happening this, just guessing, about a month ago, that certain things have been happening?
Yes, yeah, that didn't seem to affect me. Soon it was the new recruits again, but they learned quickly. That's why Kelda thought it might be a material issue, but I inspected all my things myself.
And, God, first for the hell of it, I mean, like, he looks like he's telling the truth, no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I trust him.
Even if he was bad at it, which he's not, he's confident.
Yeah. I assume I trust him, but there's, like, that moment of I'm like, okay. I'm gonna get suspicious and paranoid of everyone, apparently, here.
Sure, yeah, you kind of, yeah, do sometimes.
Let's see.
So yeah, he seems pretty confident, and you guys have kind of stumbled upon something here, where it seems like there's something else happening outside of the tension that's in between here, because they're blaming each other.
Right.
But you guys
right,
are like, right. there's something else going on.
Yeah, there
on
might here, be which... a stakeout in order. So I think at this point we'll probably kind of leave them with the advice of, you know, having a watch, and then maybe we'll try to see what Kessler's been up to.
Yeah, so I would say keep a watch and try to be careful. Don't be at each other's throats, because honestly, that's how you lose an organization like this. You guys, you are all members of Goldbeard. Yeah, and we want to see proper weapons being made that can protect everyone outside these walls. And he kind of just leaves it like that. I mean, honestly, if he wants to do diplomacy just to try to soothe the minds of people for a second.
Yeah. Go ahead and do diplomacy to sort of, like, ease the tension there. Because you kind of have... Kind of have brought something to them, where it's like, "Hey, it's nobody.
Yes,
it's none. Yeah, none of you appear to
be." That's a 35. So he does say
I hit the 8 as well.
So 37, and so yeah, he just simply goes, "Listen, there's a bit of chaos going on around, and we're simply trying to keep things onto level. We don't need anyone breaking up about anything, and we don't need anyone dead over certain fights that go haywire. I will just say, keep your eyes open, your ears open, and keep each other safe." And we will kind of leave it like that.
Okay. So you guys sort of leave that. I'm going to shift over to Kezra. And so, Kelda, if you talk about the fact that you want to inspect the merchandise, you know, you want to inspect craftsmanship, she takes you over to a place called the House of Oaths, which is the local temple of Kohls, the Oath Keeper. Kohls, K-O-L-S, not K-O-H-L. not the clothing store.
It's Kohls! Holy shit! Kohls. I thought they went out of business.
Jenny Kohls books? Kohls the Oathkeeper, who is the dwarven god of duty.
Here is where Kelda Hallrig is dealing with some merchants who are pretty upset at the whole situation. She's trying to tell them that they're working on it, you guys are investigating, and blah, blah, blah. So she's sitting there trying to deal with them. So if you want to approach and start talking to her, you can figure out what the situation is.
Okay.
All right, yeah, I guess I want to... Are there any of the affected goods set aside anywhere that I can inspect them?
That would be at most of the smiths themselves. I don't know if any of them kept them. I think most of them reforged them, but if you want, you can check these to see if we missed any. I would honestly appreciate it. I think we've been so anxious that we... I'm afraid we might have missed one.
Very well, maybe some fresh eyes.
So can I roll some crafting?
Yeah, go ahead.
Alright, yeah, so I'm going to look over the goods for their hardiness, for their durability. See if anything looks off. 30.
30 crafting is just enough, actually. So you look over some of these, and as you're going through and you look at some of the axes, and they all look, you know, they're all standard. You know, they're not many of them are like special. They're pretty much, they look to be just like regular ordnance, basic arms. But you do come across a few where like it appears that there's like, in the short sword, there's like a slight bend on the blade. And you're like, oh, that shouldn't be here. And then there's like another one where like the pommel is like slightly loose if you turn it one way, but not the other. And so maybe they didn't catch it because of that. And so like there's like two or three that you're like, these look a little strange. And they all appear to be from different smiths, or different smith houses. There's like a name here, there's a name there. But they do have similar builds in a way, not necessarily with the smith house, but it looks like a lot of these, all the different weapons that you find seem to be similarly built, as if the same hands.
Yeah.
These here. Any receipts as to who put them here?
Well, you said they came from the separate houses, so never mind.
Well, yeah, but they might have different smith houses on them, but the way you look at it, it looks like there are subtle hidden flaws within each of them, but you look at them and it's like. There's no way that they would have this, like, that each of them would submit one. So it looks like there is some sort of issue with, like, one of them, not that you met Goldbeard, but, like, one of these came from Goldbeard. Mm-hmm. And so you would have, you've been in this town long enough, you would have heard that name, like, there's no way that this, like, would have came from. So you're kind of like, how the hell did a Goldbeard weapon end up in this spot where, like, people would rely on
it? Yeah. I don't exactly know what to do with that
information. So it kind of seems like a single bad actor is making the dupes and then planting. And then someone else is then planting them.
So I grab the handful of the similar items.
These all claim to come from different houses of these within the guild, but... From what I can see, these were all clearly crafted by the same hand.
And she kind of looks at her, she's like, I see what you mean, these all... Hey, look, the bend here looks as though somebody was holding it in the same way. She's, like, comparing two different handles. And, like, the handles have a similar sort of bend to them. There's, like, certain things that sort of, like, indicate that, like, you know, that every smith has, like, their own signature thing, even on accident. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what she's, like, noticing here.
It's clearly similar strike patterns and folding techniques on all of these. They're not good, but they're all similar.
Right, that's what I'm noticing here too. I'm glad we had you. I've been dealing with the merchants out here. You can see merchants are kind of like pissed that like they're trying to like buy stuff to resell it, and then they're hearing about the imperfections. They're hearing about some of the shoddy work, and so she's like having to like kind of smooth that over. She just goes. Well, I need to deal with this. Is there anything that you need for me to inspect any more of this?
Don't think so. I think I should reconvene with my colleagues.
Okay. She's dealing with some angry merchants, and you guys are able to meet up once again.
Well, seems that someone's been planting some bad... product into Goldbeard's stash. Yes. What have you found, Kezra?
I found numerous arms and armors, all seemingly crafted by the same hand, but then reportedly coming from the various different houses. I don't know who is spending their time crafting these garbage arms and then intentionally disseminating them. I wonder if any of the houses... are not affected by this bad craftsmanship. That would be the first thing I could think of. Maybe there's someone out there
like
sabotaging the names of their competitors.
Well,
Maybe someone either outside the guild or someone in the guild who was disgruntled.
Or simply sabotaging the ones that have the most prestige, to say the least. If you like Goldbeard, he's simply one of the pinnacles of smithing down here. If you tarnish his name and then his weapons are faltering because someone's been planting in there, it's a simple tactic to ruin an entire business.
The thing that doesn't add up, though, is it's not like we have competing smithies planting, you know, different, you know, bad weapons against each other. We have one hand doing multiple.
But
that's the thing that doesn't quite add up.
Oh, no, it doesn't. But when you think about it in a certain way, you start destabilizing a line of, perhaps, income, which would then cause more of a chaotic rumble through everything. I mean, you saw exactly how the students, I mean, not the students, but the teachers, were fighting amongst themselves. You get so many people riled up, fighting. No one does good work anymore, which causes more issues with fighting. I mean, the next person that swings a sword, the sword will shatter, and they'll be killed on the battlefield. Simple as that. It's a simple way of breaking down a society.
I think we should stake this place out. I don't think whoever's doing this is doing it under the cover of dark.
The thing that bothers me, though, is that someone has to make this. Is there some unlicensed smithy going around? Like, are all of these places accounted for? How many crevices are there? Are these crafted off-site somewhere and then brought in? But I do agree that whatever the answer to these questions are, it does lie in us. Stake out of this place.
Is it possible that someone is creating these items magically, and that's why they're kind of shoddy? Like, maybe they're not forging them. Maybe somebody, like, powerful is just, like, creating...
Great sword.
Like, I'm sure there's... Yeah, like, they're, like, creating materials magically to pass it off. I know there's spells that are like that can just literally create shit.
Yeah,
like,
just,
yeah. Just
create things. Yeah, I was thinking
think it
of,
even says it's like it's not really good quality, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's like crude. It's like passable, but it's crude.
Yeah, I was gonna say what do they call it in Stormlight Archives? They use like the spheres to like transmute stuff.
Soul casting.
Because like they make the soul casting, because they'll make something out of wood and then soul cast it into metal. And so, like it's like a totally different thing. But yeah, like that. Okay, so you're thinking something like that. Well, you guys have some pretty good like details here. Now the issue is that there appears to just be someone making shoddy stuff around, and it appears that they're making it in like various forges. They appear to be trying to make it probably look like it's coming from different places. So, if you want, you can just go around to all the different forges and try to, like, ask questions, if you want. Forge Master actually suggests that if you want to, like, look around, you could pose as merchants.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, Ambrose could definitely...
Yeah, I could certainly do that, but I was also thinking, like, so if they're going around passing off weapons from different houses, it's the same hand that's doing it. I was just trying to think of a timeline, because he said the one was coming from, what, 3 days ago?
And that was his most recent one. Yeah,
so it's just kind of like something that, how fast can these forgeries pop up, for one? And is there a pattern of like, oh, this one was from like 6 days ago, this one was from 3 days, like every...
Oh, like if they're making a rotation of planting the forgeries, then maybe we could triangulate when the next one is going to be planted.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's okay. How I was just trying to think about it, because I was like, if it's like one or maybe two people, I don't know. Casual probably, I mean, as you were saying, it could be just artificially created, magically created metal that's crappy. But it could just be someone that, I don't know, has a forge hidden somewhere and is just churning out shit. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it would be good to know if there's a cadence for the distribution. I feel like that's really important.
Yeah, so if you you guys are gonna just ask around at the forges and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, I'll tell you Ember's code, like the ones that have been targeted specifically, and he's on he'll try to get a timeline.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll probably like split up.
And
ask around, cover more ground that way.
All right. Yeah. So go ahead. Go and do diplomacy. To just ask around and see if you can get them to kind of like talk about what's been going on. See what their like last broken weapon was.
Kez is gonna be real good at schmoozing these smithies.
Are you a bunch of assholes? So that's a 38, actually. God damn, wow. I'm rolling fucking well for diplomacy. Shoot. My diplomacy's second highest, so.
Oh, dang.
Skill, so.
Yeah, I got a 26, so not bad, but not fantastic. Like, you know, not Ambrose level.
Yeah.
30.
Ooh, whoa. Excuse me.
Ooh.
Man, when did Kezra learn some manners?
Well, it's crafting for him. I mean, you assume he's. You could talk people with that.
Garn walks into a place and goes, God is dead! I mean, realize he had a little bit of a mental break there.
No. I don't know if you remember, but Garn's on his Gorham's Alive and Well.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Oh, no, I just like the idea of God is dead! Shits himself.
So you're able to kind of ask around, and you're all able to put together a timeline of when people are doing all of these forgings, and they're teaching stuff like that, and they're talking to merchants, and so it's a constant business. The merchants coming in and asking for stuff, right? And you figure out that a lot of them seem to have. If they have like a spotless track record that they started to have them, and so you're sort of putting together a timeline, and it seems like most of them would have taken the broken thing and just reforged it.
Yeah.
When you put together when it was happening, it seems like each one of them had something a night.
Oh, so every
Whoa.
Single day,
one bad one a night.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Well. Just pick a place and stake it out, and we'll find
them. Yeah, like, what would be the next person that had a spotless record?
Well, they said each a night.
Yeah.
You're talking about a different night of the week, or, like, every single night, every single one?
In each one in some sort of sequence. Maybe not a perfect sequence. But like the this Smith would have a broken one, and then a guy down the street would have a broken one.
Yeah.
So it was like that for like a while. And like I said, they all just thought it was just bad stuff. But you're like looking at it and you're like, that's weird. Yes. That's
oh, there's some consistencies with everything here, but I do sense something. So that is the curious. So for the ledger saying, which ones are now the remaining spotless ones, because I'm assuming they're probably going to be attacked as well at some point with this forgery crap.
Well, every single one of them has something.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's just about finding out which one's the next in the sequence and then staking it out.
Well, before you guys get to that, I want to shift over to Sam. Because you've been posted up on the wall, and, some guards have, like, walked by, and then they're like, there's that guy.
Mm-hmm. That handsome devil.
God, I wish that was him.
Many do.
You have been hanging out for a while and just sort of like, okay, well, Hammersong's got to come now. You've been sitting on that wall for about an hour. You go and, like, you get coffee at, like, one of the barracks or something like that. And you've been keeping an eye on, like, where Hammersong went in. There's no way he wouldn't, like, go in one door and come out the other. So you're pretty confident. And what happens eventually is that the door opens. And you've been, like, keyed in on this big, big set of double doors that he walked in on with his four guards. What ends up happening is that the double doors open. And out comes two guards. Hammersong first. Two guards. And then somebody in manacles is flanked by two guards behind them. And there's a bit of a crowd, and so you sort of, like, kind of move around and you get a good look.
The man you see being escorted away is someone you know well. He goes by the name of Colerone Chiselrock. This is the leader of the Stonemasons Guild.
Right?
He is known for manning the wall and having an extremely paranoid sense about him. He was the guy that had the red beard that was like, we should kick him out.
Oh, that guy that immediately was like,
Yes.
Interesting.
You see him walk out with manacles and you're like, oh shit, this is bad. Because you know that Hammersong, who's ahead of a guild, arresting another guild leader is going to plunge the city into absolute political chaos.
Yep.
Oh boy.
And I'll see you guys next time.
Woo! My gosh.